you got to roll with the punches. Hi, everybody. Your old friend Mike Houlihan. Welcome back to Hibernian Radio. Coming at you right tonight, Wednesday night, January 5th, from the Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, 10614 Southwestern Avenue. We're streaming online at Global Irish Radio, GIR.ie, and also can catch the podcasts up by Sunday at HibernianRadio.org. Brought to you by Local 150, Sheehy Funeral Home, Flood Brothers Disposal, Cork and Kerry, Fox's Pizza, and Guinness. Guinness is good for you. I'm having one right now, as a matter of fact. So hope everybody had a great Christmas, great New Year's. I'm glad it's over. Sick of COVID, but glad to be back in the saddle here, and we got a great guest tonight. He is a Cook County Sheriff's Police Officer for almost 29 years, Sergeant for 19 years, Chicago, Cook County Sheriff's Police Department, FOP Lodge 4, President since 2006, member of the Fraternal Order of Police Executive Board, member of the Emerald Society, which I am too, and Father Perez Knights of Columbus, which I am also a member. Kevin Farrell, Kev, welcome to the show, pal.
How are we doing, Julie?
Very good. And we have your ex-brother-in-law with us tonight. Matt Walsh is in the audience. We also have Tom Lonergan from the FOP number 7 here. So we got a great crew. And we're just kicking back here at Cork and Kerry. Now, one of the things we believe about the show is we're dedicated to Irish first responders because we feel that they are the modern-day equivalent of our ancient mythological Irish warriors. And you're one of them, Kevin Farrell. Now, where'd you grow up?
Gates Park.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, wait a minute. I know your brother Malachi, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
But that you were a kid, and then they moved to Beverly? Is that where they were?
No, Mal was a kid. I was 22 when we moved.
Okay. Yeah. And so what parish are you from?
St. Clair.
Oh, St. Clair's. Yeah. I remember doing a story on Malachi in the Sun-Times.
I remember it well.
And didn't you have a little brother who died?
Sean, yeah.
God rest his soul.
He was 21.
Wow.
Yeah. Cancer.
That was sad. But he was a great kid. He was like his corner man, as
For
I
sure.
recall.
Yeah.
Great kid. And how's Malachi doing?
He's good.
Is he still fighting?
No, he's too old for that.
Okay. He was a formidable-looking guy, though.
He was,
of course,
yeah.
So are you. How tall are you?
6'7".
Holy cow.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're a big guy. And I remember your dad. What a character.
For sure.
Was your dad a fireman?
He was.
Yeah. What was his name?
PJ.
PJ. Now, is he in heaven now?
He is.
God bless him. Yeah, he was quite the character.
For sure.
Yeah. Actually, I remember going to Sean's wake. I can't remember where he was wake. It wasn't Sheehy's, was it?
No. Okay. What's that, 103rd? Blake and Lamb.
Oh, Blake and Lamb. Yeah, but your dad was right up there. The whole family was up there. Yeah. Great Irish family from the south side of Chicago. So, where'd you go to high school?
Rita.
Okay, you're a Mustang. And then when did you decide, I'm going to go on the police?
The old story that Matt and I tell is we got in the wrong line at the ward office. We wanted to be garbage men.
Yeah, the 19th ward, yeah.
Yeah, no, you know, it's one of those things. I grew up in the 8th District. An opportunity presented itself to work at the Department of Corrections for Cook County.
Oh, yeah.
And when the opportunity presented itself to become a police officer, I took it, trying to do it
was
better.
Was Mike Sheehan the sheriff then?
He was.
The real sheriff.
A fine man.
Yes, indeed. Yeah.
Yeah. And we all love Mike.
Yeah, he was the best. Well, he's still around.
For sure.
God bless him. He's not the sheriff, though, unfortunately. I don't want to say anything to get anybody in trouble, though. So you did a year at the jail, 2 years?
Oh, I did 3.5.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
And what does that involve? You're basically a guard?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you saw some weird crap there, I'm sure.
I saw more than I ever wanted to see in my life.
Good answer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And you wanted out. Up and out.
Yeah, for sure. But it becomes a calling. Like, you just have that passion to do what's right and go out and make a difference in your community. You know
Good
what I mean?
For you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure you hear that answer every week from the coppers that come in, though.
No, I think this is the first time someone had the balls to say that.
Yeah, I mean, that's the truth, though.
Okay. If you believe it, I believe it, Kevin.
For sure.
So 3 years of the jail, that's pretty stressful.
The jail is hell on earth. It's worse now than when I was there.
Oh, I'll bet it is.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, it's just...
The problem is there's not enough people in it. You know, they're letting all these idiots out.
On either side of the bars.
Oh, yeah. So then what did you need? Did you have to go to the police academy again?
Or? Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
What was that like?
I was young. Yeah. It was wonderful.
Yeah. That's right. You got 29 years in. Oh,
right.
My God. Yeah. Well, and where are you? Are you at one? Do you go to one place every day?
I work out of our intel center now.
Ah, where's that?
That's down at the jail complex.
Oh, okay. 26 in California. Yeah. Well, tell me about any great stories that come across in your adventures in Chicagoland.
Where to begin?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd have to tell the stories without using names.
Well, give
we did fake a
names.
We did a search warrant one time.
Yeah.
My lifetime vice president has arrived. Jose Rosario was my point man when I was in narcotics as a young
Jose,
monk.
Welcome.
Yeah. The only Puerto Rican Irishman I know. honorary.
Yeah.
So the one of our guys forgot his pistol.
Yeah.
And notified us as we were what they call stacking, right? So we're getting along, about to hit the house. I was the ram guy, obviously, for my size.
Sure, and that would have like a big...
Yeah, battering ram, and Jose was my point guy, always, cover me, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, oh,
this guy says, my gun.
I forgot my gun. We're like, we can't do nothing about it now.
Yeah, too late.
So he had police written on each sleeve.
Yeah.
So as we approach the door, he knocks, we wait a few you know, seconds. We don't hear anything, so I hit the door.
Yeah.
Well, as I hit the door, this elderly gentleman was shuffling to the door and went to grab it. And all we saw were his slippers falling over head over heels.
Oh, man.
He falls back on his house. We enter. Well, they enter. I'm the last man in at being on the ram. And I see this guy walk in, and he's like putting his eyes. It's better for the video, but putting his eyes on. Police. Police. You're like, what are you doing? Yeah, so.
The poor guy.
That's one of the good ones.
Yeah. Were you always the ram guy? I'd say, all right, you go first, Kevin.
If I was there, pretty much, when we were in narcotics, pretty much I hit the door.
Now, when you hit those things, it's with a big battering ram.
Yeah.
Is it usually one thing and it opens, or do you have to hit it a couple of times?
Depends on the door.
Yeah.
But we did, what did we do, 3 to 5 a week
when
we were in narcotics. Yeah,
holy
we were very
cow.
Busy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just busting down doors.
Yeah, it was quite a blast. We had
a lot
of fun back
then.
That's got
to be a thrill coming through the door.
Yeah.
Police! Yeah. Unless someone's shooting at you.
Well, we were very fortunate and very tactically sound.
Yeah. Oh, good. How many guys go into a situation
Depends
like that?
On the residence, but typically we went with 8 to 10.
Yeah.
Is that about fair?
Yeah.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
One of my favorite shows on TV now is The First 48. Ever watch that show?
I've seen it, yeah.
It's all about homicide cops, but they do a lot of that, you know, when they're going to get the guy,
right.
They go to the battery and ram it. Hello. It's the last thing I'd want coming through my door.
Yeah.
So you worked narcotics for a number of years?
A few, yeah. When I was young.
Yeah.
Before they promoted me.
Yeah. And what'd they promote you to?
To sergeant. I'm still a sergeant.
Oh, okay, you're sergeant. Yeah.
I have one more search warrant story. We did a trailer park out west.
Yeah.
And they have them like fiberglass style door almost. So I went and hit it, and the ram went
right through the whole
perfect circle. So Jose reached his hand and unlocked the door, and off we went.
You pulled it out. You had a nice big one. Yeah. That's great. Yeah.
That's one of my favorites.
Usually when you went, you were looking for drugs or whatever.
Yes.
Yeah. There was a big thing in Chicago. Some lady was naked for like 16 seconds or whatever, and they gave her several $1 million or because they had the wrong house or whatever. Was that what that was, a drug bust or something?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I'm not privy to their info.
But they were all up in arms, I know, and they thought, well, she was naked for like 2 seconds. Big deal.
I have no idea how long she was naked because the news tells all the lies.
Absolutely.
So the way they portray it is she was standing there for
an hour.
But we all know that's not the decorum that police officers use nowadays.
Yes. Well, let's get into that. You're 29 years into a pretty good career. You've watched the media turn on you, basically, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And the politicians.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. They were never with you to begin with, believe me.
We used to have a lot more support.
Oh, yeah.
So what in the bio, it was the, I'm on the board for the Illinois FOP.
Yes.
I'm the third vice president for the last, what, eight, I think, something like that.
Since 2004.
Well, yeah. I've been on the board since 2004, but I've been the third vice president for the last several, probably about 8 years.
Yeah.
And so we monitor politicians pretty good.
Good. You
know, that's part of what we do is lobbying. And
yeah.
If there's a... I'll use a for instance, and I use this example for all my guys who don't understand what we do. They came out with this pedestrian stop card a few years back.
Pedestrian stop card?
Yeah, so when you would stop somebody, you had to make note of it, and this was all part of the initial police
when
reform.
When you stop someone walking, a pedestrian?
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. If anyone who's not aware and not in the know had seen that bill in its initial form,
yeah,
it was what they're looking for now, this civilian... Everything was civilian oversight.
Oh, know? Yeah.
If you do something, then this group of civilians is going to review it. So what
COPA,
we
COPA, stuff like that.
Well, yeah. COPA is another matter, and that's a CPD problem, and I don't claim to be an expert on CPD problems.
Okay.
This is law enforcement as a whole.
Yeah.
So we went at, we got some of our legislators to approach us, or we approached them and said, yeah, this doesn't sound right. This isn't how it goes. So the, what we started tagging the line, police professionalism.
Yeah.
And what that is... If a doctor messes up, gets sued for malpractice, you don't get a bunch of civilians coming in and saying, why'd you cut them here? Why'd you do that?
Yeah.
If an accountant makes a mistake, an accountant reviews it, right? Yeah. It would go on and on.
Yeah.
Why would you let a civilian tell a police officer, trained, highly trained police officer, how to do their job when they've never done it? They've never been trained to do it. They don't know the rules.
Yeah.
They don't know the use of force model. You know what I'm saying? So,
and most of them are an axe to grind anyway. You know,
most politicians at that time, this is, we're talking 15, maybe 15, 10 or 15 years ago.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say most, but a good handful helped us carve that bill into something more palatable.
Yeah.
Because the stop card was coming whether we liked it or not.
Yeah.
Now, this last time with 3653, House Bill 3653, that is
nuts.
The alleged safety, we call it the Unsafe Act.
Yeah.
Nobody would listen.
Yeah.
The only thing that they would listen about is qualified immunity, and our fear statewide is that that's what they're coming after next.
What's qualified immunity?
Qualified immunity is a very misunderstood concept in America.
Yeah.
So what qualified immunity means is if I take action as a police officer deemed not outside of bounds, right?
Yeah.
Justified.
Yeah.
Then I can't be sued. But if I
you're
do
doing your job.
Right. If so I pull you over, I write you a ticket, you feel like it was some form of profiling or whatever, but it's deemed that it's on camera, everything went well, you know, everything's been explained, then you can't sue me and try to make it something that it wasn't.
Right.
Right. And we've seen this time and time again on these cameras. People submit videos where someone makes these wild allegations of
and then they look at the,
racism and profiling and other things.
Yeah.
And then you've watched the video and you say, or they were rude and obnoxious and they called me all kinds of this and that. And you watch the video. And that's why I'm a proponent of body cameras.
Yeah.
Because it's saving us more than it's hurting us.
Yeah.
Because when people review the body cam, they go, well, that's not what happened.
That's not what happened.
You're lying.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's one of the prevalent issues.
And that's it. Was it 3630? What?
3653. It just passed last year. We did a trailer bill that passed in July. Correct
me if I'm wrong. It's a trailer bill. What is it?
Trailer bill was to correct some of the language.
Ah,
so
yeah.
One of the languages in the initial bill was from the taser aspect.
Oh, yeah.
For those who don't know, taser is a conducted energy device.
Yeah.
I've been tased. Them. It hurts.
I'll bet.
Horribly.
What were you tased for? They were tasting it on you?
Yeah, just
get the big guy over here.
You go through the class and you have an option to be tased or not to see what the effects are. And if I'm going to use it, which I never, I don't think I ever would, but I just want it's one of those bucket list things. Check a box. Yes, I've been tased.
Yeah.
And I'd highly suggest nobody else does. It hurts.
Yeah.
Right? Behave yourselves out there. You do not want to feel that taser.
When you get tased.
But if you're a copper, I highly suggest you do it.
Yeah, use it.
For manhood reasons.
Just for my own knowledge, when you tase somebody, do they crap their pants?
I've never tased anybody.
Okay.
But I've never heard that happening.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Because I'd be like, all right.
I got a great story about a taser.
Okay.
So when we first got them, I was a sergeant in the gang unit.
Yeah.
And we did a stop on a guy that we had knowledge had narcotics in the car.
Yeah. By himself or was he?
He was by himself.
Yeah.
Southeast suburbs.
Yeah.
So We go to take him down. We go to get him out of the car. He refuses. So
he refused to get out of the car?
He refused to get out of the car because he knew he was dirty. Yeah. And we did. We caught him with an amount of narcotics. And so there's four or five guys trying to pull him through the car.
Yeah.
I go to the passenger side, and I realize he's still buckled in, and they're playing tug of war with the seatbelt.
Yeah.
So I reach in through the passenger side,
and I
press the button on the belt, and he shoots out of the car like a baby out of a womb, right?
Yeah.
And I start laughing because all these guys are like,
whoa.
They thought he jumped or something, right? He still resists when he gets to the ground, and one of our guys, he's on our executive board for the FOP. I'll say his name. He's my favorite guinea, Mike Luceni.
Okay. Good job, Mike.
He just got a taser, and he was super excited to use it. Mike's a big country music fan and had tickets to Brad Paisley that night. I want to preface that.
Brad Paisley, yeah.
So one of my other guys has one cuff on him.
Mm.
You see where this story's going, right? And the guy's fighting, and Mike says, you better give me your other hand or I'm going to tase you. He puts his hand on the guy who's got the cuffed,
ooh,
right, on his shoulder, and then he tases the guy. And all three of them start bumping like bacon on a frying pan.
Oh, wow.
And again.
Bacon on a frying pan.
I laughed so hard I walked away. Now the guy, of course, complies now because, like I just said, being tasered is no fun.
Yeah.
And
takes the fight
we
right
get him
out
cuffed, and the guy's, you know, like, what the hell was that? Whatever. And Mike's like, you see that? I got him. I go, yeah, you got yourself and this guy. I said, and guess what? You can't go to Brad Paisley because there's like five stacks of paper you got to fill out now.
Yeah.
And he looked at me. He's
broken hearted. Like,
you serious? I go, if you can get it done before you got to leave for the show, feel free. Right?
Yeah.
But we love Mikey. He's one of our favorite guys. But
it's never a dull moment there.
I say all that funny story, and that's what it's all about. But the uneducated politicians.
Yes.
Inexperienced and incompetent.
Yeah.
Instead of coming to the FOP, who is the voice of law enforcement in the state of Illinois.
Yeah. Fraternal order, please.
We would have told them what the proper technique of a taser is.
Yeah.
And the most preferred target area of a person to shoot a taser is the back. And what this bill said was prohibited from shooting people in the back. So we reached out to Taser and said, hey, here's our new law. And they're like, can we write a letter? Do something? That's ridiculous. Like, we don't want anyone, if at all possible, like circumstances beyond people's control, the preferred target area is the back.
Yeah.
So we wrote the letter. We got a hold of some people. Johnny Catanzara, my dear friend,
who's
been on your show,
has
helped to carve out this trailer bill with some of these Southside black pastors who have been instrumental wonderful people.
Yeah.
People don't realize what John does behind the scenes.
Yeah.
He is something. He's a force to be reckoned with.
Oh, no. We're big fans of him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they
started
reaching.
And the more powerful it gets, the more heat he takes. It's just,
but we started reaching out through that network to say, here's some of the bad parts of the bill. And the taser thing was the most glaring incompetence is all I can call it.
Yeah.
Right? So if you're a politician who voted for 3653, maybe you want to reach out to the experts next time.
Yeah.
We're trying to tell you for years that we know what we're doing. We're not inherently racist. We're not trigger happy. We're not beating people up on a daily basis. We're here to protect and serve the community the best we can. And they're handcuffing us at every turn.
And they just don't get it at all. You know,
until they get robbed or their child gets their car carjacked
That's
or something like
story.
That. And then it's where were you guys?
Yeah, exactly.
You
yeah.
didn't let us chase them. That's where we were.
Somebody just got... A Illinois politician just got carjacked.
It was a judge.
He shot at the guy. What was her
name? Kimberly Lightfoot.
Kimberly Lightfoot.
And her
husband was packing, and he took a shot at the guy. And it's like, but she voted to defund the police.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable.
We're well aware.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes. It's, I don't know what to call it.
Well, you know what the
kind
problem,
of ironic, I guess,
that
you think the police are the worst problem, and then you get robbed, and your husband has a gun.
Yeah.
So they want to police each other. We're seeing that on the west side and the far south side every day. They police each other.
Yeah.
And the death toll rises.
Sure. I was talking to somebody. I can't remember who it was, and they told me The entire Chicago City Council is exempt from getting vaccinated.
Yes.
And yet they're all going nuts about everybody else, and all these idiots are exempt. It just doesn't make sense. But you don't hear that on the media. You don't see anything like that in the media, you know?
Yeah, none of it makes sense.
Yeah. We're living in a world gone mad.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Whether you're vaccinated or not, you can carry the germ or whatever. You can infect other people.
Well, I got vaccinated. They told me I would never have to wear a mask again, right. And none of that happened. It's all BS. And it's like, get a booster. Hey, get your own booster.
Right.
Give me a break.
It's all politics.
Yeah,
it's all nonsense.
It is. So that's why it's tough being a cop today, you know, in the last 2-3 years. That's why we started doing this show. These are very, very tough times for the police, and not because of any good reason. It's just the insanity of our times, and the media is out of control, and the hysterical crap that they're throwing at us. I'm hoping that sooner or later the pendulum swings back, because I'm so sick of this crap, I got to tell you.
Well, so that's a great segue to my next point. So everybody in Illinois is up for election this year.
Yeah.
Everybody. Right? So what we're doing at the FOP is we have a political action committee.
Good.
It's something that I wanted to come on and talk about.
Okay.
Tommy's actually a member of that committee.
Tommy Lonergan.
Yes. Yeah. We are raising funds to promote candidates that are...
You need candidates.
Pro-law enforcement.
Somebody has to run against
them. And we're starting to see them pop up.
Oh, good.
We are. A couple here and there, but we do. If you're pro-law enforcement and you have a good platform and a name for yourself and you've done positive things in your community, we'd love to have you run against one of these. Or if you know somebody who lives in one of these districts where the politicians are very anti-police, we would love to flip the house.
Oh, I'm seeing Bobby
election.
Rush is going to...
He's stepping down.
I thought, thank God, why didn't he do it 30 years ago? But some other mope will just fill his shoes.
Right.
It's crazy.
But we'll see. So what we're trying to do is raise some funds so we can either support candidates who are pro-law enforcement. We have several in this neighborhood.
Yeah, good.
Right? And minus Kelly Burke. She's been very staunch pro-advocate of the police.
Okay. And she's Irish.
She is.
And kind of attractive.
Billy Cunningham. I don't know her. I've communicated with her via email and telephone.
Cunningham, don't go there.
No? Not a fan?
No, not a fan at all.
Fair enough.
Well,
he used to work for Mike.
I know. He's a kid.
That's how we know him.
Okay.
Fair enough. Yeah. I'm sure he's listening.
I hope he's listening. He knows I cannot stand him. He's a disgrace to Mount Carmel. He's a weasel that I've ever run into him. Anyway,
but the point being, those candidates who need funding or support, we're going to do grassroots effort.
Good.
When's
the election?
June.
Oh, the elections are in June?
Yeah, the primaries are in June.
Okay. Yeah, well, that's when you got to
get people. They pushed it back because of COVID.
Yeah, sure.
Because it's usually March.
Yeah.
So we've been raising funds for 3 months.
Yeah.
Something like that. It's something we felt like we had to do. We have to do something to fight back.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? This is the only way we saw we could do it.
When you say we, you mean the FOP?
The Fraternal Order of Police, okay. And this is statewide. This isn't Cook County. This isn't Chicago. This is every FOP lodge in the state is involved.
Well, everybody wants to move to Florida. They want to get out of Illinois because of this crap, this kind of stuff. It's like nuts. Yeah. Not that they just tax you like crazy, but it's a blue state, and it's bad. And it ain't getting any better with Fatso running the state. It's terrible. Okay, not any more good stories you want to tell us? Let's just let us know how much time we got. We got plenty of time, Kevin. We're talking to Kevin Farrell. He's a sergeant of 29 years with the Cook County Sheriff's Police. He's the FOP president, local 4. Is it local 4? What do you call it?
Lodge 4.
Lodge 4.
Yeah.
And a member of the executive board as well. So...
Of the Illinois FOP, yeah.
Illinois FOP. Yeah.
So I'll tell you some Lodge Forbes stuff.
Yeah.
So every year we take underprivileged children.
Yeah.
And we spend money to give them a Christmas.
Oh, that's nice. So you just did that?
So this past year we did it. We did 50 children on the south side and 50 children on the north side.
Okay.
$100 a piece.
Wow. Each kid gets $100
and we have
presents.
Officers take them. Yes. Officers take them.
Yeah.
So we do it at the Walmart. Thank you, Walmart, because they donate to us.
Oh, good.
If anybody from Walmart's listening, we appreciate their support.
Yeah.
It is a feel good day.
Yeah. And I bet it is. Yeah. We and get it's right around Christmas.
Yeah. Usually, always before. So we try to do it on a weekend. Charlie, Sunday mornings, you know, the Sunday before, a couple Sundays before. This year we did it early December.
Yeah.
So,
and last year. So when you do something like that, there's a ripple effect on the parents, the kids, brothers, everybody. You know, these are cops helping us, you know. That's what you need, that message out there. Because they're not going to get it from the media, that's for sure.
For sure.
Yeah.
And it makes the news.
Yeah.
It makes the news.
Oh, good. Good.
I forget who was there this year. We had Channel 7, I think.
Okay.
Maybe 32. But what we see is some of these kids, they go by clothes. They go by underwear and socks.
Because they don't have it.
Right.
Yeah.
The first year we did it, we were up in Palatine, and our treasurer, another Italian guy, Guy Santillo, wonderful man.
Yeah.
He'll never listen because he doesn't have patience. but anyway, this woman went and bought bunch of necessities, clothes, bread, milk, eggs.
Yeah, all that they didn't have. Yeah.
And that year we could only do $50 a kid. We weren't flush with cash.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Or Walmart wasn't helping us then anyway. So guy was like, this ain't right. He's like, we got to do something. So he said, each of you go get a toy. The mother was mortified.
Oh, wow.
You can't do that. You've done enough. And he's like, we take everything you need. They didn't even spend 50 a kid with the necessities.
Yeah.
He said, well, we want each kid to have a toy before they leave here.
Yeah,
today.
It's Christmas.
This is what it's about. And she was crying.
Oh, wow.
You know, that's how we reach their hearts.
Yes,
you know?
Absolutely.
And it's because people, especially from Cook County Lodge 4, give a damn about their community. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We raise funds every year. We do fundraisers. We do 4 fundraisers a year, one on each side of town. Out of each side of the county,
and they're for the kids.
We do one campaign for the Polar Plunge for Special Olympics.
Oh yeah, my pal Skinny Sheehan's involved with
and
that.
And then, well, he does the one downtown. We do the one in Manteno.
Okay.
And because that's the sheriff's office official down on Lake Michigan.
Oh yeah.
This is ours is separate. We do it through one of our retired guys was the chairman of the Manteno leg or whatever, however they refer to it. So. We went. His name's Jimmy Krell. Jimmy Krell's been a staunch advocate for us, and a fine FOP member. And we went to help Jimmy's campaign, and all of a sudden it blew up. Like it's one of the busiest we've ever seen.
Yeah.
Right. The first couple of years we went, where they were like, "Come on, you guys are first.
Now they're like, get in the water.
Now they're like, "Who are you guys? You know, we're giving you $15,000. That's who we are."
When do you do it? In March?
Yeah.
Okay, because I've done it a couple of times. It is. I mean, it's a big laugh, but water is kind of chilly. I said, I ain't doing this anymore. You're nuts.
Yeah, it's the coldest my body's ever been in my
it's
life.
Terrible.
Yeah. Jose goes in every year.
It's a great thing. I mean, it's a great way to call attention to it and raise money and everything.
I've had people not show up to the fundraiser because they thought we were going to jump in the lake. I was like, oh, no, this is just to raise the money for us to donate. Yeah. We're going to do the jumping in the lake.
Yeah.
If you want to come watch, feel free.
Yeah.
Right?
It's just the shtick that goes with it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then the Easter Seals is our other preferred charity.
Okay.
And they have a school down, what is it, like, near UIC.
Is that crippled children? Is that what
Easter Seals? Easter Seals does a they do special needs kids.
Yeah.
They do young parents who have trouble starting out in life, essentially, like, you know, teenage pregnancy, and they get married, or maybe they don't have to be married. I actually don't know the parameters of that, but we met a couple who had a baby when they were really young.
Yeah.
And Easter Seals put them through parenting classes and things like that.
Oh, good for them.
Autistic is the word I was trying to look for. So they do a lot of autistic kids, and they do special sensory programs and stuff like that. One of the biggest successes is a friend that Jose and I have met, and Tommy knows him, Maurice Snell. He recently passed.
Oh, I got to rest his soul. Yeah.
He was a student, became a counselor, and then wound up with a job at De La Salle High School in their special ed program.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. One of the most genuine, nice kids I ever met.
Yeah.
Big, tall, wonderful, wonderful man. And just a success story.
Was he autistic as well?
He was, as they say, on the spectrum.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, he had trouble speaking sometimes to be eloquent, but he would get his words out. He knew what he was saying.
Yeah.
You know, I got a funny story for Easter Shields. We went to a the gala. They do a big banquet.
Yeah. Where's that, downtown somewhere?
Well, they do it at the school now.
Okay.
So I don't remember where this one was at.
Yeah.
But either way, we brought our professional fundraiser, Adam Chenault. He does. If someone calls you from safety programs and says they're working for Lodge 4, it's true.
Okay.
I get a lot of calls for legitimacy. Are these guys really working for you?
Yeah.
So Adam, one of Adam's best friends owns a pizza market.
Oh, yeah.
In Dixmoore.
Yeah.
So this kid comes up.
That's a rough area, Dixmoore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So our buddy
always
Dino,
has been, as I recall.
For sure.
Yeah.
I forget the guy's name from Harvey. What's the, Dreesen.
Oh, Tom
since
Dreesen.
Tommy Dreesen lived over that way.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, so our friend Dino Matzis, he owns the pizza market.
Yeah.
This kid comes up. His name is Jamie. And he's the weightlifting champion.
Yeah.
And man, he's just brick solid.
Yeah.
And not very talkative, yeah. Right? He's kind of one of these quiet kids, and he'll speak if you speak to him. But, you know, so Tim Uri was the executive director of Easter Shields, comes over, and he's like, you guys met Jamie. We're like, yeah, we were just talking to him. He's telling us about his medals. He had his weightlifting gold medals that he had won.
Yeah.
He's like, Jamie's a wonder. He's got a job and everything. And I was like, oh, that's awesome. Where does he work? He's like, he works at the pizza market over. Me and Adam look at each other like, and we said, you work for Mr. Matzis? And he goes, huh? We go, Dino? He goes, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And they're like, what, is he paying you good? Right, that we're starting to break his balls a little.
Yeah.
And he says, I'm fine. And Tim pulls me to the side. Because we talked to him for a little bit, and everything was ringing true, and he's like, I don't think he really understands you. I said, no, you don't understand. Our buddy is his boss. We know him.
Yeah.
I said, we're going to get this kid a raise. So we text him, hey, you know Jamie? We take a picture. He's like,
took a picture with him.
He said he's one of God's angels. That kid is the hardest worker I have.
And
we said, what are you paying him? He says, USOPs. He says, don't you mess with me. We're like, we just promised him a 10% raise. Whatever you're giving him, you should double it. This
good
kid's
for you
awesome.
Guys.
Right?
Yeah.
So Murai's like, what you guys do? I said, we just got this kid a raise. Guaranteed he's getting a raise.
Oh, that's great.
So we checked in with him, and he's like, yeah, of course I gave him a raise. What are you?
Yeah.
I'm not going to listen to you two give me shit for the rest of my life. Of course I gave him a raise. Am I not allowed to curse? I'm sorry.
What's his name? Pete, the guy who owns Pete's?
Dino.
Dino. God bless Dino.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Any final stories you want to tell us, Kevin? This has been great.
Yeah, no.
I
got some notes.
Okay.
Jeff Lang.
Oh, Jeff called me on the way.
He said he couldn't make it, so please make sure I do the announcement for the Emerald Society.
The chili cook-off.
Chili cook-off next Monday at Lodge
7.
Monday
night at 7 o'clock. I was going to plug that again.
Okay.
I'm one of the celebrity judges.
Jeff, I love you. You're like my brother, and I didn't want to fail you. And in case my niece and my goddaughter is listening, it's her birthday. Happy birthday, Megan Walsh. That's Matt's daughter.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
All right. So I wanted to make sure I got that
Matt
shout
out.
Matt
is our old pal.
Yeah. And that's all I got. And support the pack. If you get an email, ilfop.org.
It's the whole FOP. It's the pack all over the state of Illinois.
State of Illinois,
to get some good politicians.
Yes. Pro police.
Please, God.
Pro safety.
Pro police. That's good. Pro police.
We have far too many anti-law enforcement politicians in America.
You ain't kidding.
But Illinois, we have them in spades.
Yeah, we do, so to speak. Okay. But you're right. It's terrible. And they're just playing the left-wing card, and it makes
Correct.
Me sick. And I just can't stand those guys. So anyway, thank you, Kevin.
It's a pleasure to be here, sir.
Keep doing what you're doing. We honor you. We salute you, pal. We're very proud of you. And keep doing what you're doing. Come back and talk to us again, would
Sounds
you?
Sounds good.
All right, buddy. Thanks
thank
so much. God bless you.
You too.
We're going to take a little break here. Hey, here is Pilsner. We're going to take a little break here on Hibernian Radio. We'll be right back after these messages from our friends.
Flood Brothers Disposal was started over 90 years ago by their grandfather. With more than 20 family members still involved with day-to-day operations, the Floods are service-oriented and believe that the right way is the only way to do something. Flood Brothers are price competitive and still offer the personal touch in an industry-trending corporate. For client-centric service without all of that corporate garbage, call Flood Brothers today for a quote on your solid waste, recycling, and yard waste collection services. Call Bob Flood today at 630-261-0400 or go online at floodbrothersdisposal.com. Welcome back to the Flood Brothers.
everybody. This is Charlotte Houlihan. Don't touch that dial. My grandpa will be right back some more Hibernian Radio. He said something about seeing a man about a horse. Sounds like I'm actually going to get that pony after all.
Irish American News has been bringing you the news important to the Irish in Chicagoland for over 40 years. If you like mostly good news and information from all aspects of the Irish community, check out Irish American News. To advertise or subscribe, call our friend Cliff Carlson at 847-872-0700 or email him at cliff@irishamericannews.com. Irish American News, we've always been green.
On the death walk of saloons that decorate Western Avenue, only the Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, the soul of Beverly, sits right on a 50-yard line of Chicago's Southside Irish St. Patrick's Day Parade at 106th and Western. Generations of Southside Irish have quenched their thirst in the Cork, snuggling up to memories of family, faith, and fierce loyalty to friends. It's the jewel of this neighborhood where we celebrated weddings, christenings, wakes, and unforgettable victories. Proprietors Bill Guidy and Mike Fitzpatrick, now celebrating 20 years in business, welcome you home for a cold brew, to share a good story, or help you throw one hell of a party. With over 20 beers on tap and a full bar for your pleasure, this is the spot you can sink a root and get your Irish on. Cork has plenty of seating, from our private event rooms to our 300-person beer garden. Our interior space brings you back to the homeland of Ireland with our vintage photos and authentic Irish decor and Chicago memories of the good old days. So say hello to a stranger, make a new friend, fall in love, or just enjoy the company of people you forgot you knew. The Cork and Kerry continues the Southside tradition parents and grandparents brought here from the old country. Come on by the Cork and Kerry and get some. The Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, 10614 Southwestern Avenue, for private parties, just pals hanging out, or intimate cocktail rendezvous. Come on home to the south side of Chicago at the Cork and Kerry.
And we're back on Hibernian Radio. Hey, so great to be back here at Cork and Kerry, back in the saddle. You know, Monday night, this Monday night, is the FOP Emerald Society Chili Cook-Off. And yours truly is one of the celebrity judges. I hope I don't have to eat a lot of chili because I'm only going to bring two pairs of underwear that night. So you never know what could happen. But I'm looking forward to it. 7 o'clock at the FOP Lodge, 1412 West Washington. All my favorite guys will be there. And ladies, the Emerald Society Chili Cook-Off this Monday night, January 10th, 1412 West Washington. Be there. We'll have some laughs. And then I want to remind everybody, Tuesday night, and you got to be at this one. Very, 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 very important. Tuesday, January 11th, one night only at the Mystic Rogue Irish Pub, 6070 North Northwest Highway in Edison Park. Join us for the taping of my PBS TV show, Our Irish Pub, with our host, Katie Grennan, international Irish fiddler, Katie Grennan, dancer. And she's been with the show for 3 years. We are on WTTW every March with this show. It's a terrific show where we visit Irish pubs all over Chicagoland. And on Tuesday night, January 11th, we'll be with the Chancey Brothers, the one and only Chancey Brothers, Bob McNamara and all the rest of these guys. They're terrific friends. And they're great and great entertainers. And Katie will be fiddling with them. So join us. This is a shot. You'll probably be in the TV show if you're there. It's free, except pay for your own drinks. But everybody's welcome. It's at the Mystic Rogue Irish Pub this Tuesday night, January 11th. Tell them who Lee sent you, 6070 North Northwest Highway. Taping starts at 7:30, so maybe get there around 6:30, have a few drinks. The taping's only going to take about an hour, hour and a half max. It's going to be a lot of fun. So hope to see you all there. Mystic Rogue, oh, there's a phone number if you want to call to get reservations, 708-831-5142 to reserve seats at the Mystic Rogue Irish Pub, 6070 North Northwest Highway, Tuesday night, January 11th, one night only, for Our Irish Pub with the Chancey Brothers and Katie Grennan. Call 708-831-5142. I'll see you that night. So thanks. Now, you know, Billy, whenever I'm walking down Western Avenue, I look in the window, Ken's, Wrong's, Hart's, Cork and Kerry, and it is Great Irish Saloons. I see the ghost of my old pal, Jimmy Goff, through the mist, and he says to me, "Hey, Foley, who died?" Okay. Catherine McGallagher, 94, Beloved wife of Thomas, dear mother of Terrence, Mary Jo, Eileen, Michael, Daniel, William, and Thomas. She was a lovely lady, age 94, but PJ, our old pal PJ, who was our Obit scout, always looks where the contributions are going. And when they say Misericordia, PJ says she was one of the good ones. So she was. All contributions may be made to Misericordia Heart of Mercy in lieu of flowers for Catherine McGilligan, age 94. God rest her lovely soul. Bernard J. Durkin, beloved husband of the late Diane, the loving father of Mary Treese, Gerald Patrick, also known as Jerry, Sean Patrick, and Terrence Patrick, also known as Terry, and the fond brother of the late Raymond Durkin. God rest his lovely soul, Bernard J. Durkin. Okay, Tori, Mary Therese Galligan. Tori Galligan, a native of Glynn, County Limerick, Ireland. Beloved wife of the late James H. Galligan. Did I say Galligan? Not Gilligan. Galligan. Tori Galligan. And the dearest mother of Dan. She was a fond aunt, godmother, cousin, and friend of many. A proud retiree from Sears after 40 years of service. God rest her soul, Tori Galligan. And I got a few more before I get to my piece de resistance. Shirley Ann Williams, 80. Shirley was born in 1941. She was in eighth grade. She met the love of her life, Billy Williams. Shirley and Billy were married in 1960 and were devoted partners, lovers, and friends during their 61 years of marriage. Shirley and her husband, Billy, she is survived by her children, Valerie, Nina, Julia, and Sandra Simpson. So say a prayer for Shirley Ann Williams, age 80. God rest her lovely soul. Bridget Bridie Broderick, Nee Riley, 86. Beloved wife of the late Patrick J. and the loving mother of Patrick, John, and the late Michael. God rest her lovely soul, Bridie Broderick. Cornelius Joseph Ryan, age 89. Brother of the late Mary Jane Murphy and Robert and the late George. God rest his lovely soul, Cornelius Joseph Ryan, 89. And finally, an old friend of mine and of the family and the South Side and our parish, Christ the King, Larry Duty, amazing guy, devoted husband of Carolyn Hamer for 60 years, the loving father of Larry Jr., who's also married to Connie Murphy, who's a good friend of ours, Liz Gorman, Daniel Duty, and Debbie Furlong, who is another good friend of ours. And he was the brother-in-law of Frankie Hamer, our good buddy Frankie Hamer. Larry was an amazing guy, a retired Chicago Fire Department, longtime member of the IBEW, Local 134. Known him since Christ the King, like third grade. What a character. I was telling my son Patty tonight on our way down here, I went to see George Wendt in a play years ago. I can't remember the name of the play. But it was about these guys who, like, were trying to be more masculine men. And they had a song that they sang around the fire. I want to be like Larry Duty. I fell out of my chair when I saw that. But that's the kind of guy Larry was. He was a man's man and just a funny character and a great guy. God rest his soul and my best to his family. Larry Duty, say a little prayer for him. Okay, we're going to take a little break here on Hibernian Radio. I'll be right back after these messages from our friends. With a history going all the way back to 1896, the International Union of Operating Engineers has continued to protect workers and their families with loyalty and brotherhood. Local 150 has continued to thrive through economic booms and busts with careful training and aggressive organizing. Under the leadership of President and Business Manager Jim Sweeney, Local 150 has implemented programs and action plans to create work, protect benefits, and keep members working. And they've been helping the Irish-American community of Chicagoland for just as long. The Hibernian Radio Show is proud to be associated with Jim Sweeney and Local 150, and we salute the continuing efforts of the International Union of Operating Engineers and their support of Irish and Irish-American families now and in the future. Thanks to Local 150. When
your family has suffered a loss, there's one family I know who will be there for you. Robert J. Sheehy and Sons Funeral Homes are third generation, family owned and operated. The Sheehy family has dedicated their lives serving families throughout Chicago and the southwest suburbs. The Robert J. Sheehy and Sons Funeral Home was incorporated in 1913 as a storefront at 76th and Halsted in Chicago. At the time, this was one of the few standalone funeral homes of its kind, and was to be the first of many to come bearing the Sheehy name. The founder, Roger Sheehy Sr., was soon joined in business by his three sons, Roger Jr., Jack, and Bob. This trademark of service is evident 98 years later, as Bob and Jim Sheehy, third generation, own and operate two locations in Orland Park and Burbank. At Sheehy's, the name on their sign outside the funeral home means something. For them, it's very important that everyone be treated as if they were family, friend, or neighbor, as they very well could be. When my brother Willie died a few years ago, the Sheehy's took very good care of our family. And you know, you never forget something like that. Their entire staff cares about each and every family they serve. Every detail is handled in a professional and personal manner. On a daily basis, the directors Bill Kiley, Mike LaRocque, and John Sullivan, and the rest of the staff, take great pride in their work, serving families as if they were their own. Bob Sheehy will tell you, we pride ourselves on offering the highest level of professionalism with every family we serve. Robert J. Sheehy and Sons Funeral Homes, here for you since 1913.
Irish American News has been bringing you the news important to the Irish in Chicagoland for over 40 years. If you like mostly good news and information from all aspects of the Irish community, check out Irish American News. To advertise or subscribe, call our friend Cliff Carlson at 847-872-0700 or email him at cliff@irishamericannews.com. Irish American News, we've always been green.
Hey folks, Charlotte Houlihan here. Did you know that Hibernian Radio is now streaming worldwide on Global Irish Radio? Every Saturday night at 7 p.m. or 1 a.m. in Ireland. Yes, the Irish are always way ahead of us. Check it out at globalirishradio.com or capital GIR.IE.
Southsiders have always known where to get the best pizza on earth. Fox's Pizza. For over a half century, the Fox family has been creating that delicious thin crust za that your mouth will tell you, this can only be Fox's. It's a Chicago Beverly institution at 99th and Western, as well as in Orland Park, where they combine delicious food with an Irish pub ambiance. You got the best of both worlds. Still owned by Tom and Frank Fox, whose mom and dad, Frank and Teresa, bought the Western location from Al Capone's sister back in 1964. They opened the doors in Orland at 73 at 143rd and Ravinia Avenue. You'll recognize the stone turrets of their Irish castle, whose great times have been celebrated for generations of Chicagoland Irish. Fox's is perfect for the whole family, pickup or delivery, or you can dine in, relax, and have a cocktail with your dinner, whether it's steak, ribs, chicken, or especially pizza. It's all good. Having a party? Fox's also does catering. Call Fox's in Beverly at 773-239-3212 or in Orland Park at 708-349-2111. They're proud sponsors of Hibernian Radio and all Irish first responders. Mention this show for a free toothpick. Gotta love that Fox's Pizza.
Flood Brothers Disposal was started over 90 years ago by their grandfather. With more than 20 family members still involved with day-to-day operations, the Floods are service-oriented and believe that the right way is the only way to do something. Flood Brothers are price competitive and still offer the personal touch in an industry-trending corporate. For client-centric service without all of that corporate garbage, call Flood Brothers today for a quote on your solid waste, recycling, and yard waste collection services. Call Bob Flood today at 630-261-0400 or go online at floodbrothersdisposal.com. Welcome back to the Flood Brothers.
Deep in the south side of Chicago.
Get me out of here.
So deep. All the way up to 93rd Street.
Get me out of here, please.
Across the tracks.
where they only spoke Yaki Dak.
Oh.
And the people barely survived on a strict diet of crunchy bouncer and bamboo. Hey, man, you want another drink?
Yes.
Huh? Can I get you two?
This yeah.
is almost 70 years we're talking.
70 when years?
The what? Teeth.
Oh.
Something entered his cranium.
His cranium?
Right. And wormed around his frontal lobes and took him to a state of mind.
Mind, yes. mind.
Hidden place on the other side of bunkers.
Welcome,
crazy, silly, screwy.
Have a seat.
Known as... Hoolytown.
Hoolytown.
Welcome to Hoolytown. Don't stay too long, though.
How come?
Because you might not come back. Welcome to Hoolytown.
Why, thank you.
And you're welcome.
Yeah, welcome to Hoolytown, my favorite place. Love being here. Love being in Hoolytown. Okay. Dorothy and Edna, two senior widows, are talking. Dorothy says, "You know that nice George Johnson asked me out for a date? I know you went out with him last week. I wanted to talk to you about him before I give him my answer." Edna says, "Well, I'll tell you. He shows up my apartment punctually at 7 p.m., dressed like such a gentleman in a fine suit. He brings me such beautiful flowers. Then he takes me downstairs, and what's there? A limousine, uniform, chauffeur, and all. Then he takes me out for dinner, a marvelous dinner, lobster, champagne, dessert, after-dinner drinks. Then we go see a show. Let me tell you, Dorothy, I enjoyed it so much, I could have just died from pleasure. So then we come back to my apartment, and he turned into an animal. Completely crazy. He tears off my expensive new dress, and he has his way with me three times." Dorothy says, "Goodness gracious, so you told me I shouldn't go?" No, I'm just saying, wear an old dress. Okay. Another one. Elderly people, that's our wheelhouse tonight. Okay. This is called Grandma's Boyfriend. 7-year-old boy went to visit his grandmother one day. While playing with toys in her bedroom while Grandma was dusting furniture, he looked up and said, "Grandma, how come you don't have a boyfriend?" Grandma replied, "Honey, my TV is my boyfriend. I can set up in my bedroom and watch it all day long. The TV evangelists keep me company and make me feel so good. The comedies make me laugh. I'm so happy with my TV as my boyfriend." Grandma turned on the TV and the picture was horrible. She started adjusting the knobs, trying to get the picture in focus. Frustrated, she started hitting the backside of the TV, hoping to fix the problem. Little boy heard the doorbell ring, so he hurried to open the door. When he opened the door, there stood Grandma's minister. The minister said, "Hello, son, is your grandma home?" The little boy said, "Yeah, she's in the bedroom banging her boyfriend." Okay. One more. Uno más. Okay. Once again, old ladies in the joke. A bodybuilder was admiring his body in the mirror when he noticed he was suntanned everywhere but his willy. Okay. And not because that's your name, Billy, but just because, okay, his willy was not suntan. So he went to the beach naked and buried himself in the sand with only his willy sticking out. Two elderly ladies walked by. There they are again, the elderly ladies. And they saw his willy sticking out of the sand. One of them moved it around with her cane. She said to her friend, "Huh, there isn't any justice in this world." Her friend asked, what do you mean? "Ha! When I was 20, I was curious about it. When I was 30, I enjoyed it. When I was 40, I demanded it. When I was 50, I paid for it. When I was 60, I prayed for it. When I was 70, I forgot about it. And now that I'm 80, the damn things are growing wild, and I'm too old to squat." Okay, everybody. Thanks for visiting me in Hoolytown. Hey, we'll see you all next week. God bless you all. We got a great guest, Chicago Fire Department. We're waiting to hear if he's going to be okay, but if not, we'll find somebody else. We're just having a blast here at Cork and Kerry. Please join us every Wednesday night and every Saturday night from 7 to 8, streaming online worldwide at Global Irish Radio, GIR.ie, podcasts on Sundays at HibernianRadio.org. God bless you all. Thank you and good night. I wonder.